Good morning. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God. And I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me." The Lord Jesus Christ is the great I am. He is the creator. He is God. He is the reason for our existence, and we come to Bible study to learn his mind because the Bible is the mind of Christ. Bible study is a time for the refreshment of renewing. It's a time to reinvigorate our souls and our senses. It's a time to turn our bodies over to God as living and holy sacrifices. It's a time to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God, so that we can become a reflection of our Savior's thoughts to a lost and dying world as we persevere in the study of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to Satan's world system of thought, but keep on being transformed by God and the renewing of your mind through biblical study, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So during Bible study, God the Holy Spirit prepares you to, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Thank you for expressing your will with your presence. Thanks for being here to get another dose of truth, courtesy of the members of the Godhead, the ones who love you unconditionally, and thanks for coming to this celebration of the Lord's Supper, where we get to witness in our souls the quintessential sacrifice that was made on our behalf at the cross. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is "You Raise Me Up." Thank you. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to see the value of obeying your plan for our lives. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Baran Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it's a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to our monthly Lord's Supper celebration. The title of it this month, The Lord Jesus Christ Had Faith in His Father's Plan. The Lord Jesus Christ Had Faith in His Father's Plan. So let's begin this lesson by taking the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Albert.
It's absolutely pathetic. Good morning. God provides the Word of God through His grace, and we've chosen to reflect His grace. So therefore, Baran Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for anything at Baran Ministries. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God free of charge. And gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. So I'm going to start off the way I usually do. I want to share a story for you. But this time it's not going to be about me, so don't worry. A while back, I received a phone call from a friend thanking me and thanking the ministry because Baran Ministries doesn't shy away from teaching deep stuff. It doesn't shy away from teaching things that actually affects people's lives. And he was thanking me for that. So, all right, what's going on? And he told me about a friend that he has. His friend and his friend's wife, in their marriage, they're dealing with the issue of adultery. And they're a young married couple and there's children involved. And my friend didn't know what to say to him. And my friend ended up concluding their phone call with, just love her like Christ loved the church. And then he followed up by texting him different lesson links from our website. And my friend doesn't even go to this church. So, I mean, I thought that was awe-inspiring to me. And I want to share that with you because sometimes I don't think that we think all the time that our giving matters because we don't see results right away. And sometimes you may not see the benefit of it, but somebody who somebody else knows can see the benefit of it. And just to give you an idea, for years, I keep pestering people. If you're on my contact list and you don't go here, I feel sorry for you because I will just randomly all the time just spam my phone full of lesson links. And I've never heard anything back, and this has been going on for years. Well, now I've actually started to get some people to text me back, and people have actually been requesting more lessons from me. And all of this is possible because of your donations and because of your continued support for what this ministry stands for. So to answer Larry's question again in another way, this ministry stands for teaching people the Word of God in a way that they can actually use it to apply it to their lives and, more importantly, to other people's lives as well. So keep that in mind in your giving, and thank you, and please remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
I agree with that assessment. Let's celebrate. The Lord's Supper celebration. The Lord Jesus Christ had faith in his Father's plan. The Lord's Supper celebration is a gift to us from a God who loves us unconditionally. And what he says to us is, keep on doing this in remembrance of me. And so I think the reason he tells us that is so that he can remind us every time we do this in remembrance of him, how much he loves us unconditionally. So when we look back at the cross, as we're instructed to do periodically, what must we see? What we should see is unconditional love. The cross is a reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ's unconditional love for us. The Lord said to his apostles in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater unconditional love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And that is actually exactly what the Lord did for all mankind at the cross. He laid down his life for his friends, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward all mankind. He sees all of his creatures as his friends. The Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God, especially for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration. And it is a commemoration of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30 said, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. One of the seven things he said as he exited this world, tetelestai, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his human spirit into the presence of God the Father. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22. And what we'll do first is we'll read that psalm together, and then we will go over it a bit. Psalm 22. A cry of anguish, a song of praise from the choir director. This is a psalm of David. As we read it, let's notice the perspective that it comes from. We are behind the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hangs from the cross. We are in his thoughts. We get to see his Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 viewpoint. What is that? As he thinks within himself, so is he. So we get to see his as he thinks within himself perspective as we review Psalm 22. In other words, we get a chance to glimpse into the inner life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when I was upon my mother's breasts. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. And I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of the wild oxen you answer me. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Now, after we enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper, we will investigate the thoughts of our Lord to see what his concerns were as he made the ultimate sacrifice in submission to his Father's plan for his life. So, following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf. And we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which was broken for you. Keep on doing this in the purpose of remembering me. Remember, when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we are remembering the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, representing his death on the cross after supper, and said, this cup is the New Testament within the sphere of my blood in spiritual and physical death. Keep on doing this, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me, because as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. So remember that when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please enjoy the bread and the cup as we listen to the Lord's Supper song, Give Thanks.
Let the weak say,
take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. Take a look at Psalm 22. Here's what it says. It says, my God, the Father, why have you forsaken me? This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking from the cross. And that's the first thing he said from the cross. My God, the Father, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced at the cross something that you will never experience. He was all alone as he paid for the sins of the world. And when the Lord asks his Father why the Father has forsaken him, he is not expressing despair. He is not expressing doubt. He is not expressing impatience. He is not expressing reticence. He is not expecting reluctant. He is not expressing reluctance. The Lord volunteered to go to the cross. He would have preferred not to do the task alone. He hated disunity. He hated individualism, yet paying for our sins was his unique job. Alone. And he did his job while groaning. No, while roaring in pain. Like a lamb led before the shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. As they were plucking out his beard, punching him in the face, and torturing him all sorts of ways, he opened not his mouth. But when he went to the cross and sin singed his back, he roared in pain. Psalm 22:2. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night I cry, but I have no rest. He had no rest because he was being made sin on our behalf, a sin substitute. Psalm 22:3, yet you, God the Father, are holy. You who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. At the moment of this thought, the Father was reconciling the world to himself through Christ. And now David, writer of this psalm, inserted his thoughts, a psalm written by David years before the cross. He said, in you, God the Father, our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. The Lord's thoughts continue. He looks down and he sees those who surround him during his crucifixion. In Psalm 22:6, but I am considered a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord, God the Father, deliver him. Let the Lord, God the Father, rescue Jesus because Jesus delights in him so much. They are being sarcastic. They are taunting and teasing. Most times when an executioner leads the victim to the execution, they leave having done their job, but not these, not the Pharisees. They stuck around to see him bleed. Yet the Lord's response to their jeering is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ is a man of purpose, and he did not forget his purpose as he suffered on the cross. Psalm 22:9, yet you, God the Father, are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust in faith when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. The Lord Jesus Christ was in a submission relationship to God the Father throughout his time on earth. And the Lord describes the savage nature of his tormentors. Psalm 22:11, be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. These are Roman tormentors, the most savage tormentors of the day. And now the Lord describes his physical condition in Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. The Lord Jesus Christ probably died of a broken heart. My stomach, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. What is a potsherd? It is a dried up stone that you scrape things with. And my tongue cleaves sticks to my jaws. and you lay me in the dust of death. You can imagine the dusty nature of his mouth in that environment. Now back to his tormentors, Psalm 22:16. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me, and they divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. And as I've said to you many times, they are not dividing his clothing because it was raggedy. They were dividing some of the finest robes that anyone ever wore in the ancient world. Very expensive. Psalm 22:19, but you, O Lord God the Father, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. I will tell of your name, God the Father, to my brethren, believers in Christ. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Psalm 22:23, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you descendants of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ did many things from his vantage point on the cross. Three things come to mind specifically. First, he revealed the plan of God the Father. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ from the cross revealed the plan of God the Father. What are we to do as believers in Christ? Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, we're going to verse 11. The first thing is we are to have this attitude in ourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer in Christ, you're to have the same attitude in yourselves that was in Christ Jesus. You are not to settle for some subset attitude. You're to have the exact same attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, with the exact same essence as God the Father, did not regard equality with God the Father as a thing to be grasped and held. The Lord Jesus Christ was in submission to the Father's plan for his life. But he emptied himself. He deprived himself of the rightful functions of deity, many of them, taking on the form of a bondservant, a doulos in the Greek, and being made in the likeness of men. What's a doulos? A 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, voluntary servant of his Father. And being found in appearance as a man, true humanity, he humiliated himself by becoming voluntarily obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:9, for this reason also, God the Father highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in the future. Every tongue will confess of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Everyone. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So one thing the Lord Jesus Christ did from his vantage point on the cross is reveal God the Father's plan and me in submission to it. Another thing he did at the cross is he destroyed Satan and he destroyed Satan's strategy. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, therefore, since the Lord's children share in flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ likewise also partook of the same true humanity, that through death he might render powerless him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Third, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed all mankind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 say this, knowing, believers in Christ, that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased, you are not purchased from the slave market of sin with perishable things like gold and silver, money from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. No, you were purchased with precious blood, the blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, believers, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. It is an absolute pleasure for us to stop and to reflect every month on the unconditional love that our God has for us. Closing song, I Want to Know Christ.
Christ is complete.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for protecting us. Thanks for raising us up. Thank you for letting us get to know you and your Son and your Spirit. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for always protecting us from ourselves. And I pray that you continue to illuminate your plan for us, that you continue to show us how you're perfecting us, and you continue to encourage us and exhort us through the people that you bring into our lives to step up to the thoughts that you have of us and to put aside the thoughts that are being sold to us, that are teaching us that we are not spiritual royalty, because we are. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your unconditional love, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.